Hi everyone, this is Jeffrey Lin, a three-time fantasy basketball champion, an Atlanta Hawks optimist, and the host of the Shut Up and Dribble podcast. Here at Shut Up and Dribble, I want to explore the intersection of culture, society, business, and basketball, because basketball is more than just the X's and O's. My guests and I are going to be sharing our hot takes, our ice-cold takes, and probably some of our lukewarm takes on everything from these cultural icons of the game to how small markets are tanking NBA ratings. Finally, just a short disclaimer, some of these episodes were filmed earlier in the year, so they're going to reference events such as the playoffs and things that aren't necessarily timely. So thank you for joining me, and I hope you can subscribe, leave a 5-star review, and enjoy the show. All right, well, hi everyone. This is Jeffrey Lin, and here we have Matt Wang, and he's going to be our guest today on the Shut Up and Dribble podcast. So, Matt, do you want to introduce yourself?
Hey, yeah. So, my name's Matt. You know, Jeff and I went to college together, undergrad together. You know, I'd say I'm just interested person in basketball and in the world at large, and just, you know, the culture in general. Jeff invited me on this podcast, and happily here to provide, you know, my opinions and to have a really good discussion.
Yeah, thanks so much, Matt, for joining. And I think today's topic is going to be something I think that's both near and dear to our hearts, and that's Jeremy Lin, you know, the Asian American basketball messiah. And, you know, I think we kind of want to talk about his role as the most prominent Asian American basketball player. Certainly not the first one, but I think he's certainly the most famous one right now, and kind of just his almost like career arc, you know, starting from really his time when he exploded with the Knicks, and then kind of as of now, even though he's not in the league, but he has been taking, you know, he's with the Santa Cruz Warriors, and he's been doing a lot more outreach and kind of talk, being outspoken about being an Asian American, and that's certainly not something that, you know, he was the most comfortable with in the beginning. So if people don't know who Jeremy Lin is a point guard for the Santa Cruz Warriors, but he became famous in 2012 when he had perhaps the most electrifying two-week run that the New York Knicks have seen for the past two decades, when he lit up the Garden starting for the Knicks for in that 2012 season. And yeah, I'm kind of just wondering, like, what were your thoughts on Lin Sandy? Did you have, like, how did you feel when it was happening? Was it the best 2 weeks of your life, as it was mine?
So first of all, I've only sort of been more of a basketball sort of fan, I think, post Lin Sandy era. Like, I've always been interested in basketball, but I wasn't really sort of following it to the degree that I have been following it up until, like, maybe, I don't know, I'm from Toronto, by the way, so like when the Toronto Raptors kind of got good. But I know that during sort of the Lin Sandy era, I remember it quite vividly because, you know, I went, you know, at school, it was one of the first times that everyone sort of, I remember all my classmates were sort of buzzing about Lin Sandy. And you know, and as one of the few Asian kids in my class, everyone would sort of ask me about it. Everyone would come up and just sort of, yeah, I think they were making like plays on my last name, like Wang Sanity at the time. So, you know, as someone that wasn't like super into basketball at the time, but you know, just being able to sort of like see, you know, an Asian American really make it on sort of a national stage like that, I think was significant. And I definitely remember that 2 week stretch. I mean, I watched a few games. I mean, Jeremy Lin destroyed us, the Toronto Raptors, in one of those games there, which, you know, those were dark days for the Toronto Raptors in the Bosch era. But yeah, I mean, I thought it was still pretty significant. And I think as an Asian person, even if you weren't sort of into basketball or really following it that closely, it was a time that you definitely could. You know, you definitely paid attention to it.
Right. No, I remember kind of like people making the same plays on my last name. You know, my last name is Lin. I think it was pretty easy for people. You know, I think there's a lot of comparison between me and Jeremy Lin. And I think that was, That was when I really felt this immense like pride, like for being an Asian American. I think just seeing him succeed and like be so confident out there on the court, I think that really inspired me. And just, I think kind of like a lifelong becoming a lifelong fan of basketball and like being like really inspired and really like admire like Jeremy Lin really like jump-started kind of like my basketball fandom. When they came out, did that kind of like inspire any feelings about being like in Asian, like Canadian or an Asian American, like for you?
Well, you know, I guess to give you guys some context, I went to an all boys school, or I was at an all boys school. This was sort of what, 2011, right?
2012. Yeah.
Right. So I was, how old was I? I guess this was like right when we started college, I guess, correct? Or around that time?
It was right before started college.
I remember, you know, so I was at an all boys school, and I think that a lot of Asians, you know, they don't necessarily, I mean, we're not sort of known for being extremely athletic throughout just my childhood growing up. I mean, I was never, I mean, I'm only 5'7". Right. I'm a pretty scrawny guy. And a lot of sort of, you know, the school that I attended, we just weren't, me and sort of the three other Asian boys at the school, you know, we were always sort of the last ones to be picked during gym class. You know, we were never really sort of seen as very athletic. I mean, you know, there was a certain degree of truth to that, you know. I mean, like, I could barely, you know, I got hit by the ball a bunch of times in gym class. Like, I was very unathletic. But I think, like, this is where I think, you know, the significance of Jeremy Lin really comes in, is that a lot of, I think, Asian Americans, Asian Canadians, we just don't necessarily have many role models in those spaces that we can sort of point to, and really sort of, I think that's important, right? I think that's really important for culture. I think that's really important as someone who, you know, as an impressionable kid sort of growing up, I think role models in life are really important, because they sort of set the boundaries around what, you know, you think is attainable for your own capabilities or career. And to see someone like Jeremy Lin on the big stage, really just performing at a very high level in a space that isn't known for, you know, Asian Americans or Asian participation, I think was extremely significant. And although, as I said, I wasn't a huge basketball fan at the time, just being able to see that was very you know, as an impressionable young kid, like that was very moving for me. And so definitely. And I mean, although it didn't really sort of, I guess, change the way, you know, other people, I guess, sort of saw my own athletic capabilities, you know, still getting picked last in gym class, and, you know, still being called, you know, I don't know, ball head, or I don't know, whatever, but I'm still being, you know, the last one to be picked. I definitely felt a degree of sort of self-confidence emanating from that.
Right. No, sometimes I'm 6'1", which is like pretty tall. I'm only 2 inches away from Jeremy Lin. I like to think about that. But I sometimes think, but I never really like played sports in high school. I played more like middle school, and, you know, I didn't really have that like role model to look to as like a person, you know, as an athlete that's saying that, oh, like I could do this. And, you know, I do think that if Jeremy Lin kind of like started, you know, earlier, then I could look at that and be like, oh, like I can be that if I want to. And I think that really could have, I don't know, I guess, changed the trajectory of my life. Okay, that's probably an exaggeration. But, right, you know, I think I could have been like, oh, like, I can, like, play, like, basketball. Like, I can, like, do these things. You know, it's not, you know, I kind of always saw myself as, like, oh, I kind of, like, my lane is, like, to be, like, academically successful. And that's kind of, like, the only thing I can do. But, you know, obviously Jeremy Lin was both. Like, he was like academically successful and like very successful in the NBA. So I think I really resonate with what you talked about there.
Yeah, I mean, you know, the other interesting thing too is I think for a lot of young Asian adolescents or teenagers, you know, as from coming from a culture that sort of, you know, is very deferential where young people are meant to be a bit more deferential to their parents or the desires of their parents. I think that, you know, not only was Jeremy Lin significant in that it sort of, you know, showed teenagers and young kids what they could live up to, but also I think it sort of showed to a lot of our parents as well that you could be successful choosing maybe a quote-unquote more sort of unconventional path through athletics. And I think that is a really important dynamic at play in sort of how a lot of us sort of decide on what careers we choose, you know, what types of subjects we try to study. And so, you know, the more I think that we can have people like Jeremy Lin sort of make it and become sort of successful being part of the Asian American community, the more I feel like we'll see sort of or it'll catalyze and snowball to the point where more Asian American parents will start to be convinced that this might be a good way to get their kids into some sort of successful career.
Yeah, and I think, you know, definitely that, you know, it doesn't have to be just like tennis or golf, right? There's like other things you can play, and also right. Kind of maybe just the benefit of like sports, like overall, it's about kind of like building that confidence and for any like sort of, for anything like you do in the future. I think that's what I'm realizing now, kind of like working, is that I've never was able to kind of like build that confidence in myself to like be comfortable kind of like in my own skin, you know? And I think that's something, you know, you can really build through like athletics. So yeah, I think going on again, like kind of like in Jeremy Lin's career arc, you know, he bounced around the league. I think even though like he became like so famous and well-known, at least among like the Asian American community, there were times where I think he really did suffer still from like that racism. He wasn't, you know, he would say he wasn't recognized in arenas, and well, people like wouldn't know who he is. They wouldn't think he's a player, and that, which to me is still like ridiculous.
I do think that as any sort of, again, minority in sort of a space where your ethnicity or, you know, isn't very common to find, you know, I think there's always going to be a certain sort of extent of how you sort of, or how people sort of portray you, right? And I think that in this era where these types of issues are so much more, you know, front of mind of so many more people, the political implications, whether they are desired by the individual or not, I think are, or some sort of political statement sort of gets made. And yeah, it can be tough. I think it can be a very difficult burden to shoulder for the individual who doesn't necessarily want sort of to be this to be known as sort of, you know, the speaker for a certain group of people or what have you. I think, but you know, it doesn't just exist in professional sports. I think it exists in music as well. There are a bunch of other sort of examples, you know, I'm sure you could point to in sort of the music realm or even acting, right? I think that this is somewhat the double edge of fame, right? I think that especially in this era, as I said, where the media tries so hard to sort of create some sort of craft, some sort of narrative to sort of demonstrate some sort of like greater implications of participation and just sort of how front of mind this stuff is for so many people nowadays, you know, it's almost inevitable for some folks who sort of find themselves in these positions to sort of carry the burden of this greater sort of political message that they have to shoulder and sort of speak for, which I don't think is fair. I really don't. I think that, you know, at the end of the day, if you're into, you know, a lot of these people don't go in expecting this is what they want to do. They just want to play basketball, or they just want to sing, or they just want to rap, you know, like I don't think that, you know, it's necessarily a good thing that a lot of these folks sort of end up having to also become these quote unquote politicians or activists or community organizers, speakers, what have you.
No. Yeah, I definitely. This is something I struggle with a lot with too. I think, you know, I it is, you're right. It's absolutely unfair to put these like extra expectations on people just because, you know, just because they were born Asian American, like just because Jeremy Lin was born Asian American doesn't mean he has to speak for all of us, or he has to kind of like represent all of us in on that stage. But, you know, it's almost like he does he have that responsibility though? Like, kind of like Spider, like with great power, like comes like great responsibility, right? Because he, like, he has that talent, he is there, and he has like such a platform. Like, does he have like the responsibility to do so? I mean, you know, like, no, really, right? Because he doesn't have to. He can like live his life and like do what he wants. But it's almost, I do remember coming in the beginning, you know, feeling disappointed that he didn't speak out more about what it's like being like an Asian American and, you know, how that like impacted him. But, you know, I think that's something he just needed to like grow into and decide that he wanted to do. And obviously he's doing that now, like speaking out against, you know, Asian hate, especially attacks against elders, and then speaking also about like the shooting in Atlanta, like, you know, all the, you know, six of the victims are Asian women. And, you know, it very much seems like it was an act of hate. Whether or not it's legally a hate crime, I don't think really matters. You know, I think for us, it seemed very much like it was a hate crime. And, you know, I think he's like been like very outspoken against that. And I think, you know, it just kind of like took him time to really find his role in it and find his voice, which I think it's like certainly like a very natural thing we all go through.
Yeah, you know, I kind of think that a lot of people underestimate how difficult it is to be a professional athlete. I think it's very easy, especially in basketball of all sports, just because of how media savvy the league is and sort of how active a lot of the players are on social media, posting, you know, their sort of extravagant lives. It's easy for, as an outsider, to kind of look at that and be and just sort of think like, oh my God, these guys haven't made. But I think a lot of athletes go in and become athletes because they have this really great physical skill, and a lot of them just really want to play the game. I mean, that's really what they're hired to do. That's what their role is. And I think that's, you know, that's what these people spend their lives cultivating, is just to play the sport. And I just generally think that, are we asking too much of our professional athletes to also shoulder this burden of also being political activists? I mean, I welcome it, you know, like the stuff that happened last summer around sort of the league and what, you know, a lot of the players did to, you know, call out the injustices, racial injustices that were going on, and really sort of using their, as you said, sort of, I guess, using their fame and their platform to sort of disseminate a very important message. I also think, like, while I applaud that and I totally welcome that, I also think it's tough. And I feel like you have a lot of young guys or women that get sort of thrust into these positions where, you know, they're not necessarily prepped for. And it's something that I don't think they really sort of, you know, signed on to when they decided to play professional sports. I mean, maybe not. I'm not sure. But, you know, I do sort of think that maybe we're asking a bit too much of our professional athletes. I mean, these guys are here, or girls are here to play sports. And I think that at the end of the day is really what we all want to follow. That's why we tune in every night. And, you know, I think it's really tough, you know, as a 23, 24 year old, to not only have to, you know, keep up with a very grueling exercise schedule and play schedule, handle all sort of the burdens of just being a professional athlete on the road and having sort of, you know, maybe a bit more difficult sort of personal life, but also have to be considered this political activist as well. So I guess this is sort of a roundabout way of saying is like, I really appreciated what Jeremy Lin has done, you know, in terms of speaking out about the tragedy that happened a few days ago. But I also think, like, you know, I think as fans, we also have to give these players a bit of a break. You know, if they decide not to, I think, like, we shouldn't react with hostility or anger. You know, I think it's perfectly okay to just be like, this guy just doesn't feel like it's his place, you know, and maybe he doesn't feel well equipped or knowledgeable enough to you know, speak on it. And I think, like, if that's the case, I'm totally okay with that. I don't feel like we need to put this extra pressure on these athletes for doing these things that potentially is maybe just a bit too onerous.
Right. For no, them. I think that makes sense. I agree that, sometimes it's, maybe it's not like the athlete's place. Like maybe they just don't want to do it. They don't have to do like what makes it, why do they have to like speak up? And I think for me, it's especially for like people of color, I feel like that's like who we're like mainly talking about. Like I don't expect like Duncan Robinson out there to like be this articulate person on racial issues. Right. And there's like this extra burden of like educating that especially like minority or, anyone in the kind of like a marginalized community has to go out and has to like speak out on these issues. And we almost expect that of them. And you're right. No, I think it's, yeah, I think it is unfair to kind of, we just want these like kind of like people to like live their lives. But, I guess kind of like in my own experience, like, personally, I think I do want to like speak out and, about these things and maybe like change them. But I guess that's, at the end of the day, that is like my personal, that's something like I want to do. And I think that's not really something I would want kind of like forced upon me. But yeah, I don't know. It almost, right, kind of, it's this idea that like, oh, if I were in your position, obviously I would speak out like against it. But I think that's really, I guess I'm not really like thinking about like what like the athlete or someone with a bigger platform would be doing. I think maybe like these days in like social media, it's easy to like tweet an athlete and be like, it's been like 20 minutes since this happened. Like, why haven't you said anything about it?
Yeah. I mean, I think this sort of just points to the dilemma of just becoming a famous person, right? I think of someone like Kyrie, for example, as someone who really cares a lot about, these social issues and really genuinely wants to make a difference, it can backfire. And I think that he has gotten a lot of flack from certain sports opinion columnists or commentators for some of his, his speaking out. I remember, I think Shaq said, you're a basketball player. Like, what are you doing talking about civil rights or whatever? You're not one of these people. And so, I think this is something I think is really difficult for a lot of professional athletes who don't really sort of, like just the fame aspect. I mean, this was very apparent in this Stephen Marbury documentary I was watching. Just, the media can really twist and just sort of manipulate the words of someone and spin it in a way that, might be very profitable for these media companies that might not portray the athlete or the person that made these statements in a really great light. Despite their best intentions. And, I do think that, like, I mean, I don't know if the NBA already does this, but I do feel like, especially in this era, there needs to be some sort of, like, I wonder how much a lot of these new athletes are sort of understanding what they're signing up for when they become a professional athlete when it comes to sort of, the media aspect to it. And just being able to be prepped for that and just sort of understand the implications of how to, handle the media well, and just sort of, be able to sort of cultivate a following, but at the same time, not be sort of, the words being sort of taken in a sort of a different direction. I do think that just media literacy for people that are in the spotlight is really, really important. And, I don't know if a lot of 18-year-old, 19-year-old, 20-year-old athletes sort of get that preparation or education that I think is really desperately
needed. No, right. Like, I think about, like, so much of the NBA, they're probably, like, either younger than me or, like, about, like, my age. And, like, I wouldn't know what to do, like, if that, if something like that happens. So I think that's a really great point. And I think from what I know, I think the most famous like athletes, I think coming in, they probably have, because they knew this was going to happen. They knew like the sort of message that they knew the spotlight was going to be on them. They like probably know, like someone like LeBron, I think since he was like 15 or 16, he probably knew like this was going to happen. And how can like I control my message like throughout like my career? And I think he's done a really great job of doing that, You know, I think ever since the decision, he has done a really great job of doing that, right? Kind of like, you know, just triumphant return to Cleveland, like letting Draymond Green like punch him into balls so he could win that championship. And yeah, like something like that, I think is, but that's someone with like so many, like as many resources as LeBron has, so that he's cultivated for, that he's made for himself. So yeah, I think that's kind of important. You know, these discussions to be had about, like, what does it mean to be a minority in America and like to represent yourself in this industry, and how, like, whether it's fair or not, in some people will expect you to represent your entire like race or community. And when people see you, when people see you, they will see you as a representation of your entire race and community. And I like, it's like, personally speaking, that's something, you know, almost in a way, like my dad has like talked to me about a little bit, just about like, oh, like, you know, kind of in the macro sense that like, oh, like if you're an attorney, you're kind of, you kind of like represent like Asian people, and you, I guess, kind of like as more like a micro sense, like, oh, like I represent like him and like my family, and just kind of like all the work that they put into me, like by coming over like to America. I don't know, is that, have you ever felt like that kind of, I guess, like burden of responsibility kind of like placed on you?
Somewhat. I mean, I think, like, I don't know if that's, I mean, I think it's important to think about the greater implications of your behavior, right? And just in any context. But I also think it's somewhat, you know, it's a big burden for people to shoulder, to say that, you know, the weight of, you know, an entire community lies on your shoulders, lies on sort of your opinions and your outward behavior. In a lot of ways, and I think that can be a really toxic mentality to have when, you know, as someone that's already a minority in sort of a space where you don't necessarily feel really comfortable, you know, is already very difficult, or difficult enough. And so, I don't know, I've never personally really felt sort of that particular dynamic. But, you know, I can just imagine how stressful, you know, that can be, you know, for someone like Jeremy Lin or you know, a Jackie Robinson, or, you know, the Williams sisters or whatnot, you know? And that's why kind of I have this perspective more of sort of like, let's let these people be. If, you know, if they don't feel like they want to shoulder that burden, you know, just existing in a space where you are a minority is difficult, you know, is mighty difficult enough. Why are we sort of placing all these extra burdens on top of these folks that are just trying to, you know, succeed in day to day? And, you know, a lot of people talk about sort of, you know, especially with like mental health now, I think that so many people feel, right, if you are a minority in a certain space, just sort of how that sort of weight, additional weight that you hold can really sort of be a very negative influence on someone's mental health. I think that if you want certain folks to succeed, I actually think that it might be better for these, you know, people that exist in these spaces to not feel that, right? I think people perform the best when they don't feel like there's all this additional pressure on their back, and especially in the athletic realm, right? You know, if Jeremy Lin is going out there every day when, you know, the coach says, okay, get up there, you know, Jeremy, and see what you can do. If he's feeling like, oh my gosh, I have to, you know, perform to this extremely high level because, you know, the weight of my ancestors and my community and all the people, you know, my fans in China that are weighing on my every move.
5,000 right? years of Chinese history. Is
sure, exactly. On. Right. Yeah. You know, are weighing on his shoulder. I mean, it's gonna be tough to put up 30 points a game, you know? Like, I really think that in a lot of ways we're asking maybe a bit too much from you know, professional athletes, famous people, but also, you know, as you know, to your point, on maybe a more sort of micro scale, on people that feel like they are, you know, a minority in a space where they don't feel you know, they're well represented.
Yeah, I think you're right. You know, it feels like if you don't like have these expectations on you, you can like perform well. Like Jeremy has talked about, there were nights like he couldn't sleep. He was so nervous about the next game, you know, and that was, I think that was then he was just thinking about like sticking in the league And, you know, if you like tack on this idea that like, oh, as an Asian American, he needs to like represent, you know, all the Asian American hoopers out there, right? It's tough. And, you know, I don't like envy like him like being in that position. And, you know, it kind of like made me think about like other like Asian American like athletes. Like it's kind of like hard to think of, you know, one that comes to mind right now. But yeah, like it, I think one, yeah.
I mean,
go ahead.
Let me hit you with this though, right? So I do think mm-hmm. that Asian culture mm-hmm. in particular, with its sort of emphasis on family, your sort of tradition, mm-hmm. right? Maybe in some ways, you know, like that is just that burden that a lot of I think a lot of sons and daughters of immigrants, mm-hmm. Asian immigrants, sort of experience. You know, like that just like maybe that is sort of this weight that sort of prevents people in a lot of ways from going into certain, you know, professional sports leagues or deciding, you know, to sort of do something like that, right? Because, you know, like if you feel like there's sort of a higher sort of risk, right, sort of in your decision to maybe decide, like about Jeremy Lin, right? Like you know, he was at Harvard. You know, I guess maybe the typical thing is to go off and sort of do one of these quote-unquote safe careers, right? You know, that maybe your family is sort of, your Asian family is sort of more comfortable with. And, you know, we know these, right? Just become a professional, what have you. You know, and then the other sort of path is to go down this professional sports route. If, you know, as someone who feels like, wow, you know, I have to show my family, I have to show my heritage, I have to show my ancestors, you know, to continue this lineage of success or to show that, you know, mm-hmm. Every generation we're improving, you know, that's really going to sort of drive someone like Jeremy Lin sort of away from the more sort of quote unquote risky career choice, which is to, you know, pursue his dream in professional sports versus to do one of these quote unquote more safer or safe careers. So, you know, again, like I think this dynamic really plays out a lot, and I think it's a pretty toxic dynamic. And I think that if we want maybe more Asian professional hoopers, no expectations, right? Just if you want to go, just play, man. Like you don't have to speak for your family, your community, what have you. Just get out there and
hoop. No, I think I always think about my own hoop dreams are dead slash were never alive to begin with. But yeah, right, like, you know, there's, you know, like pushing that pressure on and putting those your dreams on someone else, I think, you know, it is toxic. You know, I've heard stuff about you know, one thing I used to hear is that the story is that like Jeremy Lin's like family, like they really, like, you know, even though he was like doing well in like basketball, they really pushed him like to do well like academically, you know, too. And, you know, kind of like having like that double burden on him. And not to say that's not like a good thing, but I kind of like think about it. I was like, oh, like maybe if he had more time to hoop, you know, he could have, you know, like really like pursue like that dream instead and like, you know, risk it all for that. You know, would that have changed his career, you know, significantly? I don't know, but maybe it could have, right? You know, kind of like really like believing in, not to say like, I'm sure like his family has been very supportive of him. I'm sure like they like really believe in him, but kind of putting all your eggs in that one basket kind of thing. And, you know, if you could really, maybe that could like build up that like confidence for himself.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. I feel like people perform the best when, you know, you kind of get into that flow, especially with athletes, right? When you kind of get into that flow state where you're not in your head over things, you're not thinking, you know, too much. You're just kind of reacting. And, and yeah, like, especially in professional sports, I definitely feel like, you know, the more sort of burdens we place on individuals, athletes, you know, the harder it is for them to just perform to the best of their ability. I mean, a lot of sports, I think, is in the head, right? Mm-hmm. Especially in basketball, right? Like, you know, if getting into sort of like a good shooting streak, right? Like all of that, I think, is so psychologically dependent.
Right.
And a lot of it emanates from just, you know, feeling security and self-confidence. Mm-hmm. And if every time you're trying to make a shot or, you know, make a pass, make a, you know, a layup. You're in your head about all this stuff that really shouldn't concern you in that moment. It's not going to end well.
No, I mean, that's Jeremy's like talked about, like playing for like Mike D'Antoni and being in that system where, you know, the point guard has free reign to play. Like, it's just like every time down, like spread pick and roll, like spread pick and roll. He really felt that and like really appreciated it. And it's like, oh, like you like commit a turnover. That's okay. You'll get them like next time. And like being able to like play with that freedom thing. Well, that's how he was able to like succeed the most, right? Because he was able to, he didn't have to, there wasn't the sense that like someone was breathing down his back like all the time, like looking for at those expectations. So yeah, I think, you know, that is like super important. And, you know, maybe kind of like moving forward for like other like Asian American athletes, like instead of, you know, putting like these like expectations on them, kind of more like kind of like celebrating them. You know, I feel like that is like what's happening now. You know, one example I'm thinking of is like Chloe Kim in the Winter Olympics. You know, she's a phenomenal like snowboarder, and she did like terrifically during the winter. I think she won at least like two gold medals there. You know, it felt like the lead up to that, there wasn't this idea that she, it almost felt like she as like an Asian American wasn't totally discussed. Kind of like it wasn't like such like a big story. It was really more about like her and just like honestly like how good she was. Yeah, you kind of want like what you're doing to be the discussion and not who you are, because that puts all these like outside expectations on you. But eventually, if you want to take on that responsibility, then like all the power to you.
Right. Like, and I think this is like, I think this is where as fans mm-hmm. or sort of people on the outside have to extend, you know, people in the spotlight a bit more slack or sympathy, right?
Yeah.
And consideration.
Mm-hmm.
I think so many people nowadays are, as you know, as you sort of mentioned earlier, are just willing to jump down people's throats if, you know, they haven't released a statement about, you know, a certain incident, political incident, immediately, right?
Yeah.
Or mm-hmm. haven't sort of, you know, addressed sort of a very pertinent political issue through their, you know, social media or whatever. And yeah. I think this is unfair. Like I genuinely think like as fans, our responsibility as fans is to try to just enjoy, you know, these athletes' performances for what they are, you know, or really sort of just understand that, you know, their roles are, you know, to play sports, and that's what they're paid for, and that's what they do, and mm-hmm. and not, this is not to say that, oh, like, you know, we won't welcome it. Don't speak out if that's something that moves you. But I think it's an unreasonable expectation on the part of fans nowadays to just sort of believe that just because someone is in a spotlight and has some sort of platform to disseminate a message, you know, very broadly, that it is their, you know, requirement or responsibility to do that
mm-hmm.
for whatever political topic du jour is sort of going on. So I do think that as fans, we all have to remind ourselves that, you know, it's tough to be in the spotlight, and you know, and it's not really their job to also become a community activist or you know, a political commentator.
No, yeah, it's kind of the name of this podcast is like Show Up and Dribble, right? And then it's kind of like the genesis of that was, I believe, like a Fox commentator basically told like LeBron James, who was very like outspoken against, you know, President Trump, and, you know, like, yeah, mainly because of his outspokenness of President Trump by calling him a bum, was, you know, like criticizing James for being, you know, you're just an athlete, like why should you do that? And it's almost funny, it's like, you know, now we're talking about like, oh, if you just want to dribble, that's okay. Right, like you shouldn't, like we shouldn't be. You can do what you want. It's not that we should, right? You can do what you want with your voice, and I guess it's almost like now in like this kind of like climate, is it right to have more of an expectation on these athletes to speak out against or speak on like social issues. And it's kind of, it is unfair to do that, especially because in my opinion, I feel like it's unfair to do that because the onus, I'm like leaning more towards that because the onus is on athletes who are people of color to speak out.
Yeah. I mean, like, you know, I welcome it. If it happens, I think it's great. Like, as I was saying earlier, I think that, you know, what the league and the players collectively did last summer, you know, to sort of voice these very important and, you know, deserving topics to the people that watch them, I think was fantastic. And I love how the league has embraced sort of parts of this, you know, social justice message. But as, again, I don't think that we as fans should expect it. And I don't think that we should pressure or get mad at athletes that decide not to do that. You know, I think one of the more interesting things is just sort of how sort of social media has changed our perceptions around sort of the burdens of communication nowadays, right? In some ways nowadays, a story or a post on Instagram, if you have a lot of followers, is construed as a political act, right? In light of the Atlanta spa shootings, there were folks that were saying, you know, if you're not posting about it, you know, people were getting mad at other people for not posting about these things. And like, I understand, right? Like, I understand sort of that perspective. I think it's important to get important messages out there. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, though, the way that political activism sort of manifests in 2021 is very different than I think, you know, what traditionally political activism has sort of been viewed as, right? In the 60s, you go join a protest, you do maybe a sit-in, you know, hunger strikes. You know, these were sort of a lot more, you know, ways to be a lot more present in a more direct connection to the political message that you were sort of advocating for. Right. Nowadays, you know, we kind of exist in an era where it's a very sort of low resolution, low effort way to be an activist.
You gotta put that yellow square or the black square.
There you go. Exactly. Right.
Yeah.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It's you screenshot your message or you kind of compose three sentences and you put it up on your Instagram. And this is, you know, how I think our generation views political activism. Now, I'm not going to say that one is better or worse than another. I don't think I really have the ability or the knowledge or the authority to sort of make that determination. However, you know, I think that just we have to acknowledge that the way that we see political activism nowadays has changed. And given this new reality, or just understanding this new reality, I think that allows us to be a bit more sort of sympathetic towards those who maybe decide not to sort of, you know, decide to sort of communicate their activism in these ways, if that makes any sense.
No, I think so. That makes a lot of sense, because I think going back to like a point that these like athletes, they aren't like experts on this, right? There's so much like education that needs to go into it. And it shouldn't be as simple as just kind of like putting that black or like yellow square and writing like three sentences and that's it. Like activism is so much about like, there's so much like on the groundwork, like building up support, like in the community, like being out there and talking to people who need the help like every day. It's not something that like a professional athlete probably has time to do because they're so busy like working on their craft. You know, I'm reminded of a Dave Chappelle sketch where he talks about like Hurricane Katrina happened and for some reason they asked Ja Rule about it. Right? And it's like, oh, we need to know what Ja Rule thinks about these issues. And it's, you know, it kind of reminds me of like the old Charles Barkley commercial.
Right.
You know, where he's like, I'm not a role model. You know, I'm just an athlete.
You know, and like, you know, unfortunately, I feel like, you know, now because of just sort of how the operative mechanics of quote unquote activism have changed with social media, you know, that it sort of seems to us now, over our generation, that if you have a large following, whatever, you know, in whatever field it is, whether you're a professional athlete, a movie star, a quote unquote influencer, or just someone, you know, who has a lot of friends on Instagram, that it is because of how large your network is, you know, just because of how large the potential reach of your message can go, that it is your burden to stay abreast of certain political issues and broadcast them out to your audience, right? Like, you know, it seems that just anyone who's quote unquote famous or popular now has to just by virtue of their large network, right, or their reach, the large reach of their network, that they have to, that, you know, it's the expectation that when these things happen, like, you have to communicate things out, right? Like, it is your responsibility to. And again, like, call me old school, but I just think that's an unreasonable expectation.
No, I agreed. I think, I don't know, you know, I guess I do want, like, you know, as like a person, like as a Jeremy Lin, as like an Asian American like athlete, or even as like Jackie Robinson, or like the Williams sisters, you know, is it enough to be a Black person? Is it enough to be an Asian American person and go and succeed in these fields? Is that enough, like, of an advocate to, you know, push for like the your like respective like communities? Is that enough? Should you be expected like to do any more? And I think that, you know, I feel like I agree with you that it's unfair that this expectation is put on you, but it's almost like, you know, if you don't do it, how far can we advance? And then, you know, maybe that's putting too much on like sports as a vehicle for advancement. I mean, it probably is, right? Like, it doesn't, you know, like, at the end of the day, Jeremy Lin's out there dribbling a basketball, right? It doesn't, like, you know, it doesn't really affect, like, that many people. But then, like, it does, like, in a way that, you know, like, we talked about, like, we saw him as a role model. And, you know, that instilled, like, a sense of, like, confidence in us. So, yeah, I'm almost, like, again, I kind of go back to, like, with great power comes, like, great responsibility. And unfortunately, I feel like at times, like, it's kind of, like, thrust upon, like, these athletes, too. You know, to take it and run.
I think the way that I would look at, or I interpret that sort of issue, is that for me, I think just success is a statement, an adequate statement, right? And just success in a space where you are a minority, you know, just, and you know, people are aware of, I guess, the extra burdens that people who are minorities who are, you know, operate in spaces that, you know, are somewhat unfamiliar to them, or they feel unrepresented in, you know, success, I think is, it should be, you know, almost the greatest message, right? If you can succeed in that space, if Jeremy Lin could have kept Linsanity going for, you know, his entire career, you know, we'd all look at Jeremy Lin, you know, no matter what he said about, you know, the political issues about the Asian American community, I think we could all point to him and say, wow, you know, this guy is, you know, he, in spite of all these hardships and difficulties, he succeeded for his performance itself. He succeeded in this space where many people don't make it, right? And I think that is even somewhat more of a powerful statement than, you know, a yellow square on your Instagram profile, or a few sort of, you know, platitudes or superficial platitudes sort of expressed after a certain event or whatnot. I think that, you know, and that is a more lasting and enduring, I think, message to say that, you know, this person had an illustrious career in this field. You know, I don't know. That, again, maybe just call me old school, but that's the way I kind of see it. I feel like success is the most powerful message that people can communicate outwards. And I think, like, that's more congruent in terms of our expectations as well for certain people. This person excelled in the industry or the role in the league that valued this, you know, in spite of all these hardships and difficulties and the upward sort of climb, he succeeded you know, not as an Asian American, not as a, you know, an immigrant. He just succeeded and beat people at their own game, even, you know, he succeeded in the space, not because he was, you know, this politicized, tokenized Asian American. He succeeded because he's just a damn good basketball player.
No, that's definitely true. It's just like, you know, the act, the struggle itself, that act of like persevering is enough to show someone like, oh, like if he can do it, like I can do it too. Right. I think that is like a very powerful like message. But you know, I'm reminded of a little bit of like Michael Jordan in it. Like, you know, he was obviously one of the, you know, the greatest basketball player for now. He's probably great. Okay, well, I'm not going to get into that debate right now. But, right, he's, like, you know, historically the greatest, like, basketball player of all time. And, you know, what he's done, like, you know, just to – but then, you know, I think kind of what people have criticized is, you know, what – that he hasn't been, like, outspoken, like, politically or socially, like, in the past. You know, his – there was, a race in, like, North Carolina that happened where – you know, he didn't, you know, there was kind of like this expectation or desire that he would, like, you know, speak out for one of the, I think, the Democratic candidate. And I believe the quote was, he said something along the lines of like, oh, Republicans like buy sneakers too. And, you know, it's like, again, like there shouldn't like be this extra burden on like Michael Jordan to, you know, be like this outspoken, you know, athlete. You know, if he is like becomes the greatest basketball player ever, then that should be enough, right? Like he was able to achieve that level of success. But I guess it's almost like, you know, when you have like the opportunity to like say so, or maybe it is kind of like how you like define success, almost like it's like kind of like how you define success in a way that, you know, his basketball success was great, and you know, but what, you know, if what you want is maybe like be more politically outspoken and or be more socially outspoken, like did you like achieve success in like that area? And you know, it's just like a different measure of success, I think, and that's like a very like personal decision to make. But you know, nowadays, like, you know, with the climate is different, you know, I think now athletes can like be more can be more outspoken, and I think, you know, last summer really maybe changed the paradigm for that. So perhaps, like, you know, success as an athlete can now include kind of like that social, like political component of it, where, you know, that's a way like you can like achieve success. I don't know like what that necessarily like would mean, but yeah, I guess for me it comes down to like I feel like just achieving like success in like your field is almost like not enough. It's more like, you know, what have you done for the community like along the way? Have you like been able to like uplift others like in your community and bring about like positive like social change? And I think that at that point it gets kind of, you know, fuzzy, because like my opinion of what positive social change is very different from what other people think. You know, even within like the Asian American community, it can be very different. Well, yeah, you can't, you know, well, you cannot deny like 6 rings, right? It's like very tangible.
Right. And yeah, you know, I think you bring up a good point. I mean, maybe, you know, in this current age, how we define success as a famous person, as an athlete, you know, the goalposts have changed. And again, you know, maybe again, as I keep on saying, like maybe I'm just old school in that regard, but you know, I just think that we're somewhat asking too much of our famous people. And like as fans, you know, that really go watch like, you know, we watch basketball because we enjoy watching basketball. I don't really, you know, watch basketball to get a political, you know, message. I welcome it and, you know, I love it when I see it, but you know, if I want to learn more about sort of social justice issues and just sort of, you know, develop a greater understanding of very sort of complicated topics, I'll consult other resources. When I'm watching a basketball game, generally, I want to see some good basketball being played. And, you know, like what I think was so great about Linsanity was that Jeremy Lin was out there just bawling like a, you know, just bawling, just hooping it up, and he was doing great at it. And you know, I think that if Jeremy Lin at the time, you know, when he was sort of in the media's eye, wanted to go out and sort of talk about, you know, certain social justice issues related to the Asian American community, I'd be like, wow, this is awesome, like, great. But I'd also be like, wow, that's great, but I also just want to see you continue, you know, dropping 30 points on lesser
teams.
That's
so funny. I think you mentioned your old school. I think that's like exactly what like my dad like was said. He was just like, man, like Jeremy Lin's like not like doesn't matter anymore. You know, he's not even starting. I was like, come on. You know, he's speaking out for the Asian American community. And it's like, nah, he's done. I was like, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, would you rather have like a, you know, I mean, would you rather have a super, you know, a very sort of, you know, conscious athlete that is really sort of doing their best at communicating these issues, but is like a bench warmer? Or would you rather have, you know, a guy that's just an insane baller?
No, I think you're right. I think I would rather have the insane baller who doesn't do that. I think, you know, it's almost like, because I think the comparison is always these athletes like Jackie Robinson, Serena Williams, Tiger Woods, Muhammad Ali, even, who were very good at both. Right? Yeah.
Right. Well, and I think that's why we celebrate those athletes so much. I mean, you know, even LeBron James, right? Like, they're amazing athletes that do, you know, crazy things in their respective sports, but they also are fantastic at communicating these really important messages. I mean, like, I think that's why we celebrate these types of athletes so much more. But I think that's an unreasonable, you know, an unreasonable comparison to make for most athletes, or an unreasonable standard but you know, by which we judge most athletes by. I think that those folks deserve to be celebrated, and they are fantastic, and they're great in that regard. But, you know, for most athletes, I don't think that should be the standard by which we evaluate their success.
No, Brett, I think, yeah, that's true, right? I guess for me, like, coming into this, I'm always like, man, like, I want, like, Jeremy, like, to do that. But you're right, you know, it's not their job to do it, and but it's good, like, if they do it. And you even, yeah.
It's a bonus, you know. It's like if you get extra fries in your Happy Meal, right? It's like, you know, I really love this meal, but you know, if I get extra fries there, like,
right? No, and it's almost kind of like how, you know, I feel like it feeds off each other, right? Like, you can't have as much impact as like LeBron James does without having, if he wasn't as good as he is, and like, you know, one hand washes the other,
exactly,
kind of thing. And I think you gotta have to like get good enough for people to like listen to you. And I think probably for Jeremy, people listen to him because there's only one, right? He's like the only kind of only voice we have. So, yeah. And even, and it's like, I guess like even our own careers, you know, if we want to speak out about these things, like in a workplace, it kind of, you have to like build up that cachet and like political capital. You know, realistically speaking, that's something you probably have to like build up first before you can, you know, begin to like push.
Right. Right. No, exactly. I mean, I think, as you said, yeah, one hand washes the other. You know, and I think that's why we have to sort of be a bit more, I guess, sort of compartmentalize the way that we tend to sort of view certain people, right? If they're succeeding in their industry, judge them by the standards of what they're supposed to be doing. If you're an athlete, I think, you know, I'll judge you to the standard of the best athletes out there. If you're a lawyer, I'll judge you by the standards of the best attorneys out there. But to sort of apply, you know, maybe a different standard of evaluation, how good are you as a social activist, if you're a professional athlete, if you're a banker, if you're a car mechanic? I mean, I think that's a bit unfair. I think that's a bit of an unfair standard to hold people to. And not only, I think if we maintain those standards, that makes, you know, the person's life more difficult, because now they have a whole other thing, you know, area to think about and to obsess over. And, you know, I also think it also is inevitably going to be a disappointment to us, because I don't know. I don't think that if you're hired, or, you know, you've made it into the NBA, like, I don't know if you're going to be a really good activist. You know, leave the social activism to the social activists. I'll leave the basketball.
Yeah, I think that makes a lot of sense. And no, I appreciate that, because I think, yeah, you've helped me kind of like crystallize and maybe like compartmentalize that part of it too. And I really appreciate that. So I think what we're saying is that you should shut up and dribble, but only if you want to.
Yeah, shut up and dribble. And, you know, if you want to talk, like, great, like, here, you know, extra fries, like, fantastic. But, you know, generally, shut up and dribble.
All right, Matt. Well, thank you so much for your time. I think this was such a great, I think, great, like, introduction, like, podcast too, kind of like what we want to talk about. And so I know, is there anything else that you want to say, or anything else you want to put out there?
No, not really. Just, you know, thanks for the opportunity, and look forward to chatting with you some more.